Let's play some cards.
From Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel, this is The Final Table, starring Team Poker Stars pro Dennis Phillips with Paul Harris. Brought to you by Poker Stars and the Poker Players Alliance.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You got to.
Now, from the Harrah's St. Louis Poker Room, here are Dennis and Paul on 590 The Fan KFNS.
Jackpot.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
If you are an online poker player, today may be one of the most important shows you ever listen to, as we have breaking and developing news on a piece of legislation that we have teased and talked about for almost 2 years on this show. It is a new bill that Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, is trying to push through the United States Senate and House and get onto President Barack Obama's desk, probably attached to some other bill, before the lame duck session ends at the end of next week. And it could have a major impact on online players in this country and, in fact, worldwide. Hi, I am Paul Harris, sitting at the featured table in Harrah's St. Louis Poker Room, while my partner Dennis Phillips is out in Las Vegas. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. Quite an interesting weekend, isn't it?
It certainly has been. Let me just say right here at the top that last week on the show we mentioned that we were going to have Antonio Esfandiari on the show today. He's not on for two reasons. Number one, we've got this bill that we've got to talk about because it's so huge. And also, Antonio's a little bit busy right now in the Doyle Brunson Five Diamond Poker Classic, a WPT event at the Bellagio, where he went into day four yesterday as the chip leader and is still the chip leader today on day five. John Raisner, who was at the final table this year, came in third at the main event, is there as the guy right behind Antonio. Andrew Roble is there, Kirk Morrison, Andrew Lichtenberger, Sorel Mizzi, Vanessa Russo. There were 15 left when they started today, but obviously Antonio has other things on his mind besides spending some time on the radio with us. He has, however, agreed to come on next week, regardless of what happens today, to talk about that. So we look forward to that. Also, we have other poker news we have to get to, but this really is the big story of the day. And Dennis, I'll let you set the headline. For other online players like you, what's going on in Washington?
Wow, where do you even begin? To reiterate some of the things we said before, this is the lame duck session. This is the time where Harry Reid and his cohorts are still in control of Congress in there. That will change in January when the freshmen go to Washington, and then all of a sudden we have a switching of the guard, shall we say. During this time, let's see, trying to set the stage again, Harry Reid is the majority leader there now. He will still be the leader in the Senate, even after the lame duck session is over. If the Republicans want anything done in the next 2 years, which they will need to get done, for the purpose that both parties need to gain some credibility with American voters. You saw what happened with the Tea Party and everything here. So both of the parties need to get some legislation passed. There will have to be some compromises done. So he has a little bit of power still yet in there that he can wield. My understanding is that they've now worked out a compromise on the tax break bill, and that's going to be going toward Obama here very shortly. Something attached to it, such as this particular internet gaming bill, would probably not be opposed by either side then, because that's too critical a bill, needs to be passed. They have a compromise. It's a much more major bill than this one. This one is very, very important to poker players, but it's not that important to a lot of other people around. We have to realize that. So if this is attached to a particular bill, and particularly to that bill, it actually has a very good chance of being passed. Now, that being said, they're still trying to iron out what the bill itself is going to say. The first draft of it came out last weekend. Another draft of it came out this morning, and I have heard through some very reliable sources that another draft has come out within the last hour, and now then even that draft is being redrafted. So we're not for sure what the final line is going to be, but we have and it has published the original draft and the second one, second proposal, and Paul and I can talk about that, but in some detail. But I want to qualify it first. Neither one of us are experts at this. Neither one of us know for sure what the final bill is going to be like. we're both just reading the bill and interpreting it and talking to other poker players and talking to other people that we know and trying to come up with our interpretation of it and what the ramifications of this bill will be.
Yep.
And we're going to give you our best effort and our best idea of where this is going to lead, what the actual intent of the bill is, where we're going to be in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line. We'll do the best we can on this, and then I guess we'll just wait and see what actually does happen.
Yep. I think the biggest bullet point of all of this is if you are an online player now, you might have to take a break from playing online because this bill, officially titled the Prohibition of Internet Gambling, Internet Poker Regulation, and UIGEA Enforcement Act, this bill includes a timeout, a 15-month, 1 year and 3 month timeout for all online poker that would go into effect within a month or two of when this bill is signed. The sites that are online now, PokerStars, Full Tilt, UB, Absolute Poker, Doyle's Room, and on and on and on, in the United States, would be able to continue operation for 30 days and then would have to shut down their operations to all U.S. players who would then get their money back. They'd have 30 days to send it back to them, but they would not be able to do anything online for 15 months. Either would anybody else. Harrah's, the company that also sponsors this show, I'm sitting in their poker room right now, which operates WSOP.com outside the United States, is ready to turn it on in the U.S., but they would not be able to do that for 15 months. On top of that, from what we read in the bill, there is what I call a penalty box. And that penalty box is effectively the same as a 1 or 2 year, and we're not sure exactly which it is. Dennis may be able to clarify that in a second. Moratorium on them even entering the U.S. market. Now, why, first of all, the 15 months? Why not just legalize online poker and let the people who are doing it now? Well, Harrah's and other brick-and-mortar casino companies feel like if they did that, they would not be in there in a level playing field against a giant like PokerStars and the number two site, Full Tilt Poker, which have years under their belt and a huge lead. So that's what that 15 months of no online poker would do. It would allow all these other companies to get up and get running with their new online poker sites. So then why couldn't PokerStars and Full Tilt and the others come on at the same date they are going to come on? Because the online sites have negotiated with Harry Reid and others to effectively enforce a penalty. That's why I call it the penalty box, which is, look, you guys have been able to make your billions of dollars over the last decade or so. Now you're going to have to wait another year or possibly two before you're allowed to come back in here and play. Now, can the online sites live with letting somebody else run away with the dollars for 12 to 24 months? That remains to be seen. And we don't know what the number is going to be in the final version of the bill or if that's even going to be in there. Dennis, you have some late-breaking information on that, don't you?
I do. A couple of different things. One small correction. You said that they have 30 days to get their operations round down and then another 30 days to refund the money. I think actually they have in the new bill up to 2 years to refund the money.
Okay.
You know, as people request it and everything. That's a small point, not that big a deal, but I believe that's the new wording in there.
Okay.
Okay. That being said, you have a 15 months. That is because there's an awful lot of people. Maybe people don't realize just how complicated it is to get this up and running and to get a database form and to get enough players on there to actually support an online gaming site and the poker. You've got to realize that you have a variety of people, and they play everywhere from 25, 50 cents to 100, 200. They play all sorts of different games. They play all different times of the day. So in order to have a site that can sustain all of those different activities, it's a large volume of people. And somebody that's just starting up a site obviously won't have that database, won't have those players. It's going to have to work to get that. So there's a lot of work on there. The platform itself, Harrah's announced they had bought one from 888, I believe it was. And that's how they got their platform and got it up going. There are sites out there that may be able to partner with or buy the technology or something like that, but those arrangements have to be made. If you're going to develop it yourself, it's a huge undertaking because, again, you have to realize the security that has to go into this and the technology that's going into this. This is not an overnight thing that can be put together. 15 months may be overkill, but I'm telling you that it will take a period of time for people to get everything together and get it up and get it running. It will also take a period of time for the U.S. government to get everything up and going. They have to form a new group that's going to oversee this. They have to write the regulations. They have to, get everything down, with all the attorneys going back and forth and trying to find out exactly what it is that's going to have to be and how it's going to be enforced. All of these things take a period of time. I really didn't think it was going to take 15 months. I was shocked the first time when I saw this 15-month blockout. But, if that's what it takes, I guess that's what it takes. I'm not very happy with it. I think they could do it in a lot less time. But, 15 months seems to be fairly written in stone in this bill.
Okay.
We hear lots of different changes. We hear lots of different compromises, lots of different options, lots of different clarifications. But it seems to be that 15 months has never wavered, that there is going to be that period of time once this bill is passed in which there will be no online gaming whatsoever in the U.S.
All right. Now, what about the 1 or 2 year penalty box for the current online sites?
Well, again, I have been in constant communication with a wide number of different people on this. The second version that came out, that people are reviewing right now of the bill, still states the 24 months, still shows that it would be 39 months before a company like PokerStars or Full Tilt would come back into the market.
15 months plus the 2 years.
Correct. That has changed, according to my sources. Right now, it's going to be down to 27 months.
15
months. Plus the 1 year on it.
Okay.
And that's the version that's going to be hitting the airwaves in the next few minutes if it hasn't already. And that one will then be written quite similar to it. It'll just be reducing the amount of time. There are some other changes in it, too. However, even as we speak, even as I was trying to go through the 157 pages of version 2, and now version 3 is hitting, it sounds like there's going to be a version 4. On that one, I cannot speak about what changes are going to be made. But again, there are some different aspects that are being revised, reviewed, clarified, and coming out. They have to have this done in the next couple of days. If they have to write a Vision 5 or Revision 6, whatever it is, they have to get this done and done quickly, because if it doesn't pass by December 17th, it's probably not going to pass.
Okay,
and
now
the 17th is not very far down the line.
Now, before we talk about which sites can be involved in this and can't be involved in it, I want to reiterate, if you're an online player, you're going to have 15 months where you cannot play online. Now, Dennis and I talked about this earlier today off the air. And my question to him was this. How many people do you think in the United States of America are what would call themselves poker pros? I remember when I made the final table of the circuit event here in April, there were 9 of us there. It was me, another middle-aged guy, and 7 other guys who called themselves poker pros when they listed that on their bios for the announcements. Poker pros. There, I don't know how many of those there are, but how many are really making a living just playing online poker? And so how many of them will suffer from a 15-month drought?
Well, again, starting out, the best estimate that I've seen, the most reliable one, says that there are 15 million U.S. citizens actively playing for money online at the present time. That's 15 million. The vast majority of those are recreational people, people that play sporadically, but do it for just enjoyment. But there is a nucleus. There is a group of people that do this for a living. Now, then there's 2 different groups here, and most people think of what we call the nosebleed, the guys that play the high level, those that are in there and are making 70, 80, 90, 100,000 a year. They're the pros. They're the ones that are going around. That is not a very large number. Out of that 50 million, I'm not for sure what that number is, but it's fairly small. What people seem to forget, though, is that a lot of people supplement their income by playing online. That you have the guy that's working at Penny's or Sears or McDonald's or whatever, and he's making, minimum wage plus a little more, maybe a young guy. But what he does is he goes online and he grinds it out. He's playing that $1 and $2. He's playing the small tournaments. He's playing the rest of it. And he's trying to make maybe no more than $30 a session when he's in there. But he plays almost every day. And that adds up to an extra $1,000 a month, and that adds up to an extra $12,000 a year. And all of a sudden, the $20,000 or $24,000 maybe that he's making is 50% larger and he's living off of that, and that's how he's supporting himself. There is a huge number of people that are trying to do that are grinding it out and everything. Now, again, what that number is, I don't know, but I shocked the heck out of Paul today because he said, how many online people do you think call this or do this for a living? And I said, you're going to be shocked because it could be up to 500,000 people that are doing this.
Yep.
They're going to be hugely affected when this goes into there for those 15 months. It's not those handful of people that are making the big bucks that are playing the big games and everything like that I'm worried about. It's the guy that's supplementing his income, his livelihood, that is doing this and working his butt off, sitting there for hour after hour, grinding it out in small levels to make that extra living, to give him the money so that he can go out to a movie, so they can go out and so he doesn't have to worry about, you know, making the car payment or something that way. And there is a lot of those people. I think you would be shocked at the number of people that this is going to hugely affect for that 15 months.
This is the Final Table Poker Radio Show. He's Dennis Phillips. I'm Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com, and our podcasts on Dennis's website, thechipleader.com. We're sponsored by PokerStars.net and Harris St. Louis. Let's talk about what would happen when online poker does come back after that 15-month break. One of the big things in it is players in the United States would no longer be playing players in any other country. This is similar to what's happened in France and Italy, where their countries have said, you can play against French people, you can play against Italian people, but you can't play against anybody else. So my question for you, Dennis, is if you can only play against Americans, and Americans can't play against Europeans, and Europeans and Asians can't play against Americans, who is going to get hurt more by that? The foreign element, the domestic element, or both?
Oh, they're both going to be hurt. There's no doubt about it. One of the biggest draws to PokerStars, one of the best things about that site, it is so large of a player base that it doesn't make any difference 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. You can go on there and you can play, again, the micro stakes all the way up to the nosebleed. You can play all the different games you want. You can get involved in everything from just single sit and goes to multiple table sit and goes to large tournaments to cash games to whatever. And it's all there. It's there. It's great for the individual player. He knows when he opens up that site that no matter what time it is, he can find a game that he likes. He can find a tournament that he can play in. That's going to hugely change. Now then, if I'm going to throw figures out. Right now, the Sunday Million is guaranteed of $1.5 million, and somewhere around three-quarters of the players are outside of the U.S. So if this is changed, and if it's only a U.S. player, that means that only about one-quarter of the people are going to be involved in the quote, U.S. Sunday Millions. So instead of being a Sunday million and a half, it's going to be a Sunday 300,000.
Mm.
And it's going to dramatically reduce the size of these tournaments. It's going to dramatically reduce the competitions and the variety and the ability to go on there at any given time and play. It's a huge, huge difference on that. And another one of the draws that I love about it is the ability you have to, if you're in the U.S., qualify to play a tournament in Australia or go to visit in London. You know, the communication you have internationally is huge, too. I get railbirds watching me all the time from Latin America or Europe or whatever, and we talk, and it's great. You're making new friends worldwide. That's all going to stop. It's going to be, it's bad for the U.S. players. It's bad for the European players. It's bad for poker in general, as far as I'm concerned, to restrict the playing to within any individual country.
All right. Now, in this bill, that aspect of it could be changed within 3 years, and there are clauses throughout this bill that say, look, you know, we'll look at this again in 3 years. Somebody gets licensed, they only get the license for 5 years. All of these things could change as we go forward. We're just trying to give you what is the framework of what we know as of right now on this Tuesday afternoon at 3:20 p.m. Central Time about this bill that is, as Dennis said, changing and moving forward very, very quickly in Washington.
The international part of it, too, actually goes to the WTO, the World Trade Organization. You have to realize the tariffs and the interrelationships between the countries. This is actually going to be a part of it now, if that's the case. And in all honesty, if this bill gets passed, there's no reason somebody sitting in Germany or somebody sitting in England or something like that may not call it unfair trade practice. There may be some company that actually files it with the WPT or WPO, that this law enacted by the U.S. violates international law. That could even happen. I mean, this, you remember the, but it takes forever to go to a WTO court. What was it? Not Angola. There was a case here about poker involving a WTO. It took over 4 years to get resolved.
Mm-hmm.
It moves so slow.
Okay, so but you get to the question of here in the States, once things do become legal, which would be after that 15-month period,
yep.
where would you be able to play? Because when you hear, okay, well, after 15 months, online poker is going to be legal in the United States, you might think it's everywhere, and you would be wrong.
Absolutely.
According to this law, if you currently live in a state like Missouri, where I'm sitting right now, where poker is legal to be played in casino poker rooms, then your state would automatically be included in the bill. After the 15 months, you can play online in Missouri. I'll tell you the states: California, Colorado, Delaware, Florida, Iowa, Kansas, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. Those would be the 15 states where online poker would be legal to play in the United States. The other states would have to opt in, and that would mean the governor of that state sends a letter to whatever this organization is going to be, the Office of Internet Poker Oversight, I think it's going to be called, by the end of 2011, and says, we want to opt in and be a part of that. Why would states do that that don't currently have brick-and-mortar poker rooms? Because there's tax revenue there. And we'll get to the tax part of this in just a second. But I want to say two other things about this.
Yep.
One of them is, you look at a state like Connecticut. You and I have both gone to Foxwoods and played tournaments there. Next door, they've got another one called Mohegan Sun. Both of those are on Indian land. Indian tribes run those casinos. The fact that they are in Connecticut and have poker rooms does not make Connecticut a, quote, poker-friendly state. So if this bill passes and you live in Connecticut, let's say you live in Hartford or New Haven or somewhere else in Connecticut, and you wanted to play online, you still would not be allowed to. You could go to Foxwoods or Mohegan and play poker, but because of the tribe allows it doesn't mean that the state allows it unless the state opts in. Now, that could change. Again, all of this is subject to change, but it's possible if you live in a banned state, as I call it, you might never be allowed to play online poker again. Now, think about the impact of that on some of these online players. I talked to a young online grinder last night who said to me, after I told him some of the details of this bill, I hope this doesn't pass because right now I'm making a really good living and I don't want to have to move to Canada or Mexico in order to continue doing this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's 15 states that actually would have to opt out of this bill. They
right.
would automatically be in.
Yep.
There's 35 states that have to opt in, or by doing nothing, will be opted out. That's the other thing. If the state does absolutely nothing, they will be out.
Right.
They have to ask to come in to it. And again, it's one person. It's the governor that will be making that decision, in my understanding on this.
Yep.
But he does just simply write the letter and saying he wants to be included, and there you go. It's huge, because again, you're right. No matter where you're living within the U.S., it is possible. I don't care whether it's even Missouri. Missouri can write a letter saying they want to be opted out.
Yep.
And they would not be included in this. So each and every individual state will have to make that decision, or by doing nothing, you know, then they will fall exactly there, 15 in and 35 out. So there's an awful lot of work to do if this gets passed. And during that 15 months, for people, if it gets each individual's the play within those 35 states, if their state just does nothing, they will not be allowed to play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this is state by state, set up by, I guess, IPOs, a whole bit like that. But if you're in Missouri decides to opt out, and you travel to Nevada, and you want to play in Nevada, then you can, because you're within the confines of the state of Nevada playing in Nevada. But as soon as you leave the border of Nevada, at the state that's next to it, say Utah or whoever, they do not have the ability to play. They did not opt in. You can't play.
All right, let's talk about short-term. Oh, I said that we would talk about the taxes. Let's talk about that for just
okay,
a second.
Sure, sure.
The way the bill is set up, as I understand it, Dennis, is that most of the tax burden will be on the companies that are operating the sites, correct?
Yeah, what it is, it's a 20%, and they clarified this in the second writing of it, although the intent was there the whole time. It's 20% of the rake in poker terms. In other words, if during the month of January a particular company would make $100, that means by the 15th of February they have to send 20% of that, or $20 of that, in as taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is split. 14% would go to the individual state, and 6% would go to the federal government for the licensing.
The individual state where the player lives, or the state where they operate?
The state, again, not totally clear on this. My understanding is that it's supposed to be wherever they are at.
You mean the company or the player?
The player.
Okay, so in other words, these sites are going to have to keep track of where you log in from by your IP, and they know that already. That's how PokerStars was able to tell players
sure.
in Washington, you're not allowed to play on our site anymore because of state law there. So they know that, and they will be able to do that. So they'll also be able to keep track of what you're doing on their site and how much you're making. And that's another impact of this, which is that these sites
yep.
are going to be required by this new law to report your activity to the government for income tax purposes. You make money online now. It's up to you to report or not report, and you got to deal with the IRS later on. Under this new law, as I understand it, Dennis, PokerStars or HarrisWSOP.com or whoever else is in there would have to keep track of everybody who's there, where they're from, and report to both the federal government and each of the 50 state governments the comings and goings of players' dollars. Is that right?
Well, it is, but again, a lot of that hasn't been clarified. A lot of that's going to be in the regulations. There might be minimum requirements. There might be a whole lot of other things on there that'll ease the burden a little bit. But no matter how it goes, it is going to be the responsibility of that site to keep track of it and to be responsive back to the federal or state government, probably the state government, whenever they get requests. They're going to have to be open to auditing. They're going to have to open their books up and say, yeah, this is how we're doing it. This is how we verify it. This is what we owe you. It's going to be quite expensive, I'll tell you that.
This is the Final Table Poker Radio Show. Dennis Phillips is in Las Vegas. I'm Paul Harris at the feature table in the Harris St. Louis Poker Room. We're happy to have them on board as a sponsor. And let me take just a moment here to talk about Harris, who we've been mentioning on and off here. Let me talk to you specifically about this casino, which has got one quarter of its entire space now devoted to being a smoke-free casino. They've got both smoke-free and smoke-freely sections here now. So if you don't like cigarette smoke, you can now walk right into the poker room, which has always been smoke-free, and never have to have a whiff of tobacco. That's a nice thing for players like me. Also, all your favorite games are still here, and they're moving slots around, so there are more in the smoke-free area that you might have liked than the others, and they're doing that. But of course, they still have all of the great table games, from craps to roulette to blackjack to all the rest. Plus, of course, this will be the place where you will be able to qualify for the 2011 World Series of Poker by coming in January and starting to play in the WSOP qualifiers. That's how Dennis got in there. Some 3 years ago is when he qualified for the 2008 main event. And a little bonus special I'm going to throw at you right now. Charlie Gito's, the wonderful Italian restaurant here at Harrah's, is offering gift certificates for the holidays that you can give to someone. It's $100, and you get a gift of it, which is a $10 bonus card that you can come in January and use here as well. So all of that happening at Harrah's St. Louis. For more information on this casino, you just go to the website, harrisstlewis.com. All right, we continue our coverage of the new Online Poker Act that may become law by the end of next week. It's entirely possible this could be rushed through that quickly, although after 2 years of talking about this, it doesn't seem like it's been all that much of a rush, but so much is happening right now. And let me just recap what we've been talking about in the first half hour. If this bill is passed, 30 days after it is enacted, there would be a moratorium on all online poker in the United States. for 15 months. For 1 year and 3 months, no one would be allowed to play legally or in any other way on any site in the U.S. There might be some sites that continue to operate illegally, and they would face severe penalties, including a fine of $1 million a day plus 50% of their income, plus the people who run those sites could face 5 years in prison. And Dennis will tell you, and I will tell you, Full Tilt Poker and Poker Stars and the other big sites are going to shut it off. They're not going to risk that. So there will be no big sites operating poker in the United States for 15 months. After that, the brick-and-mortar-based casino companies that have been in operation for at least 5 years in the United States, in addition to racetracks and, believe it or not, companies that make slot machines, somehow their lobbyists got in here, and they would then be allowed to start new online poker sites. The existing sites would still have to wait what we think is going to be in a one-year penalty box, although they're still negotiating to get that reduced even further or perhaps eliminated. So that's where we stand right now. Let's go back to a question that arises a lot when we talk about these things, which is, okay, you're Poker Stars, and Dennis has been aligned with them for years now. If you're Poker Stars and you still want to operate in the United States, yes, you're going to have to sit out this 15-month moratorium like everybody else, but can't you just make a deal with, I don't know, MGM Mirage or Steve Wynn or Pinnacle Gaming or Penn National Gaming or Las Vegas Sands, which owns the Venetian, and make a deal so that you can turn things on after the 15-month moratorium and just go like everybody else?
Well, some of this is up in the air. I'll give you my take on it, whether that's actually what happens. And, of course, again, as I said, they're revising and redoing this entire bill as we speak, so who knows what the final thing is going to be. All right, they are prohibiting them from taking their database and you know, just selling it to somebody else. They are saying that you have to have been acting in the U.S. for 5 years in order to qualify for that first wave of licenses that are within there. However, I can see a ton of different scenarios. I can see an awful lot of mergers and acquisitions and different things going on. I could see, you know, basically a kind of a quid pro quo where an online company and some brick-and-mortar one, while they don't have a formal agreement, basically they do partner up. Basically they say that, well, we'll control and run everything outside of the U.S. You do everything on the interior. We'll find ways to drive our existing players to your site in this interim. And then at the end of the period, when this 27 months is up, we'll formally announce a partnership and away you go. I'm not for sure how anybody could prohibit or stop that because, again, it wouldn't have to be anything in formal writing. It wouldn't have to be, you know, an actual partnership that comes out. But why not? You could do there's a ton of scenarios this way. I don't know. Maybe there'll be a lot of purchases and mergers. Maybe Harris will go out and buy 20 other sites. And wrap them, and that's how they're going to acquire their database, and that's how they're going to get their players they have to send it to. Maybe somebody else, a Carl Icahn or whatever, is going to step in here and take over and buy a whole slug of different ones and a few brick-and-mortar casinos and put the whole thing together and call it a brand-new company. And you're going to have Poker XYZ suddenly come into it. I don't know that they can grandfather it in if they buy some casinos that's been here for 5 years ago, beyond. They're trying to do it so that they can't. And this 5% of the gaming setup they have, do you realize how few companies actually qualify for that? They're looking at only a half a dozen actual people to qualify to start with. You know, you got Sands, you got MGM, let's say Boyd Gaming would probably qualify, Penn Gaming would probably qualify.
Harris.
That's, you know, Harris. Well, Harris is not publicly traded now.
Correct.
See, I'm not even for sure they would qualify for it, depending upon how it's written.
Well, I don't think you have to be publicly traded. I think you've just got to have at least 5% of the gaming business in America right now.
Okay, that could well be.
Believe me, these guys are ready to go and turn on WSOP.com on, 15 months and 1 second. That site is coming on. Let's talk about short-term versus long-term, because we've kind of been obsessed a little bit here with that 15-month moratorium period. But let's look beyond that. Let's look 2 years from now and even 3 years from now on the impact of this on the poker world. Give me your thoughts on short-term versus long-term.
15 months is going to hurt, and it's going to hurt a lot. It's going to put a huge damper on poker playing. It's going to put a huge. It's going to drive a lot of people away from it. I don't think the people in Washington have any clue actually what effect they're going to have on the poker players in the industry. What's going to happen then? I don't know. There will be a small contingency of people that will physically move out of the U.S., that will move to Canada, will move to Costa Rica, will do something like that to continue playing. There's going to be another group that will find some way to circumvent the law and will continue to play. I don't know. They'll set up some portal system in Canada, or they'll, who knows what the heck they'll do. They'll find ways of doing it. These guys are extremely intelligent. They know the Internet. They know it well. And it's going to be awfully hard to regulate and to catch these people. But there'll be a group doing that. There'll be another group that will just sit on the sidelines and wait patiently. I think there's another group that's going to invade the live tournaments. They're going to go from playing online to trying to make a living playing live. And it will see an increase in the brick and mortars, and you're going to see a huge blossom, especially in some of the smaller tournaments scattered around the country. There are going to be more and more tournaments being held there, and more live play, and a lot of people trying that. I honestly don't have a crystal ball to see what's going to happen here, but it's going to be quite interesting, to say the least.
Okay, what happens to the main event of the World Series of Poker, which this year has 7,300 people in it, many of whom qualified online? How many people will be there in the, let's say this thing does get signed into law in the next 2 weeks. Give me your prediction for the main event of the 2011 World Series of Poker.
If this thing goes into effect in its current writing, and with the 15 months and another 12 months and the whole bit like that, I actually see an increase for the WSOP this year, especially in the smaller tournaments leading up into it, some of the 56 tournaments they have ahead of time. I think you're going to see a huge influx of people in here for that. It will be hurt by the qualifying online not being available, by the X number of people that PokerStars and Full Tilt and UltimateBet and everybody else sends there. However, a lot of people don't realize that number has been dwindling over the last 3 or 4 years. It's been going down. It's still substantial, but it has been slowly dropping. I think that there will still be people showing up there for that, and I think the numbers will actually increase.
Wow.
Now, 2 years from now, I think it'll explode.
Yeah. I think 2012, there will be 10,000 people minimum in the main event.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you 100%. You know, once this thing gets open, once it's available for all sites, it's going to go nuts.
All right.
But I even think there will be an increase this year from it.
Okay, we have to take a break. We're going to come back. We have more to talk about this. Plus, there's a huge new signing. In fact, let's talk about this right now. A huge new signing announced today, just a couple of hours ago, by PokerStars, a guy who has made a huge reputation for playing huge games online. Isildur One is now a Team PokerStars Pro. How about that, Dennis?
Oh, yeah, that just absolutely floored me. I was not. I've been following so closely all this legislation and such. I've been a little out of the loop. I got the notice on it a couple of days ago, and it's like, wow, this is cool. Nobody knows for sure who he is. He's still got a blank picture up there. Everybody assumes he's a young European player, and the rumor is that he's going to be down at the PCA. The rumor is that in January we get to meet this gentleman,
mm-hmm.
or woman, for that matter.
Yep.
We don't know for sure. But this is a guy that played and won millions of dollars online and then played and lost millions of dollars online.
Right.
So, you know, this guy has had a variance likes of which nobody else is equaled, I think.
I like the tweet from Barry Greenstein today. Isildur One is a new PokerStars Team Pro. Am I in an anachronism to be known by my real name? by the way, Isildur was on PokerStars today, six tabling it against Phil Galfond at 2550 PLO. So if you want to see it, by the way, they've set up this new thing called the Superstar Showdown that he's going to start doing in about a week and a half, which is, kind of, I guess, his version of the Dur Challenge. He
yep.
challenges anybody who wants to take him on to a single session of four tables split evenly between No Limit Hold'em and PLO, stakes no lower than 50 and 100. You got to play 2,500 hands in the session. Whoever's ahead at the end gets the money that they've won, plus a $30,000 bonus that you've got to put up as well as whatever your stake is to buy into the game. And PokerStars is making some changes for the Railbirds to watch that, because, you know, whenever Isildur 1 is online, lots of people come to follow him. They're going to have showdown tables, special things set up so you can see all four tables at the same time and have stats on the screen and all of that. This starting with what they call the Superstar Showdown on December 19th. All of that will be part of PokerStars.net and perhaps .com going forward, all of this depending on this legislation we're talking about. And we'll have more on that when we come back. Go ahead.
And one other thing, too, because they're actually going to set it up to where you can qualify to play against him.
Oh, really?
Yes. They're trying to get it set up right now where they can have qualifiers, and then that money pooled together from all the different qualifiers, the guy that ends up winning this massive tournament structure or however they do it, will then go head-to-head with him. So can you imagine that you could be the next person sitting down to go against him head-to-head on four tables?
No, I can't. All right, we're desperately late. We got to take a break. This is 590 The Fan, right. KFNS and KFNS.com, and our podcast on thechipleader.com. This is the Final Table Poker Radio Show every Tuesday afternoon at 3 on KFNS and on the podcast on thechipleader.com with Dennis Phillips in Las Vegas. I am Paul Harris at the feature table at Harrah's St. Louis Poker Room, where we'll start our 2-5 pizza game, as it's come to be known, right after the show finishes today at 4 o'clock. We're talking about new legislation that is being pushed through very quickly in Washington that would legalize, license, and regulate online poker, but put a big asterisk next to that because online poker would have to go away first. For 15 months, there would be no site allowed to operate in the United States offering you the chance to play poker online. 1 year and 3 months without that, then the current brick and mortar operators like Harrah's would be able to launch their new online poker sites, but the existing online sites would have to sit in the penalty box for a year, possibly two, possibly less. That's still being worked out in the changing situation with this bill, which is literally changing from day to day, hour to hour. Now, we've talked about the short term being bad for poker players. What about the long term for this, Dennis? Our friend Josh Schindler, the poker lawyer, said he thinks that in 15 months after this goes into effect, there's going to be a fishing frenzy online. What do you see for the long term?
Well, first of all, can I clear up a couple of things I said earlier that I didn't have? When I talked about the WTO, and that if Ireland or England or somebody makes a complaint, how long it would take, that was actually Antigua. It was an Antigua slash U.S. gaming case
right.
that was there, and it took over 4 years for that to happen.
Okay.
And then when we talked about the cap, I think the way this reads is, quote, has to be responsible for regulating at least 5% of total U.S. casino gaming revenue for at least three of the last 5 years. By market cap, in order, Las Vegas Sands, then the Wynn, then MGM, then Penn National, and then Boyd are the top five. They're the only ones other than Harrah's, which isn't publicly traded, so I don't have the figures for it, but I assume they're in there. The only ones that I know of that would be qualifying for that 5%. You know, an Indian casino is probably not going to qualify for the 5%. One of
right.
the smaller independent casinos not going to qualify for the 5%.
Yep.
So you're limiting it a heck of a lot right there. So that's a huge difference. I just wanted to clarify those two because I wasn't clear on my figures when we were talking, and I didn't want to kind of leave it up in the air.
Okay, but, glad you did. So long term.
So long term. Well, let's look at the two different scenarios. If nothing is done, then you're going to have a different Congress come in, a Congress not favorable to making any changes. You're looking at least 2 years before there would be any substantial changes for the positive for this. There actually could be changes to the negative for it, but there would not be anything to the positive, you can almost guarantee. So you've got that period right there when now, again, continuing status quo, people may look upon that as a good thing. I don't know. I like seeing it regulated. I like feeling comfortable. And the one thing they did do in this second version of it was that they did come out with specific penalties about cheating, and they did try to define that. And they didn't do it just for cheating devices like the bots and everything that are going to be specifically prohibited in this new version. But they came there, and it's, quote, knowingly violating, attempting to violate, or assisting another in violating the rules of play established by the licensees for the purpose of obtaining, prohibiting, or unfair advantage in any game associated under this site.
Yep.
And they're putting substantial penalties. Not only can you ban from ever playing internet poker again, but it's a criminal penalty consisting of a fine and or up to 2 years in prison for cheating on one of these sites.
And you know what?
That's something that is not in there.
This is part of it that we don't discuss all that much because you play online all the time and you've got no problem with it. But there are some people in this country who are poker players and might have considered playing online, but they just don't trust it because they're not sure of the legality of it right now. You and I both know that it's okay to play online, but they're unsure about it, and so that's an obstacle for them. Once this gets legalized and there are safeguards in place to guarantee that there won't be cheating, that things will be safer for them, that it'll be run like a brick-and-mortar casino where you already have those same guarantees, that should bring more people in. Also, it's not that easy for a lot of people right now to get money on and off, well, more importantly, on to an online poker site because of the UIGEA's restrictions on financial institutions. But this law would make it easier. It would lift those, and you could use your bank to make the transfers, and you know, I don't think you could use credit cards for it, but it would be so much easier than it is today, right?
That's true. And actually, what's within the amendments that are being put forward on this thing, same thing that they had with Barney Franks, is actually an amendment that a debit card can be used, but not a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that have the actual money physically sitting in an account can use it, but they can't run up a huge debt by playing online. It's one of the safeguards that they have in there for this thing.
So long term, you think with that making it easier for people to get money on there in a safer environment, that will long term mean a lot more people playing poker online, but we're talking about a couple of years away, right?
Yeah, I hate to admit this because it's definitely not in favor of like a PokerStars or some of these off companies that are not within the U.S. It's definitely not good for players right now. That 15 months, I think, is ludicrous. I understand some of the justification for it, but I think they've gone so overboard, it's ridiculous. But even that being said, I hate to admit this, but I think overall it will be good for poker in the long run. You have to just tighten your belt and take a deep breath and last this out. I don't like it. I think it could be changed. I think these people that are writing some of the bill don't really have a good concept of what's going on there. I had the luxury, I guess you'd say, of flying to the Isle of Man, of going through the security system that they have there, of seeing how ethical and how up-to-date and how much they fight to make sure that this is totally fair for everybody, and how they go after somebody that they even suspect of having a bot or doing something wrong. This is PokerStars, bar none, is the safest place to play online, is my opinion, period. Now, I can't speak for the other 140 sites or whatever there is in the U.S. I'm not going to try to. But I had the privilege of being at the Isle of Man. I had the privilege of going through this and talking and seeing their security system. And I'm telling you what, these guys bust their butts to make sure that it's as safe and as reputable a site as can possibly be.
And by the way,
absolutely no problem doing that in the U.S.
By the way, the law would also force other sites to be as scrupulous about this as PokerStars is, not just when
Absolutely.
It comes to cheating, but also when it comes to underage players and compulsive
Absolutely.
Gamblers and collusion and all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
So that
is the good part of this.
Yep.
That is one of the things we've been fighting for with the PPA for so long, is to get it regulated, to make it a safe site, to make it so that everyone can feel comfortable playing there and not have to worry about it.
And I will tell you,
that is one of the positives.
I'll tell you another good thing. This is not necessarily immediately apparent to players, but for years, I've been going out to the Rio, to the World Series of Poker, and been, I don't want to say I'm embarrassed, but I guess disappointed by the lack of corporate sponsorship in America. I mean, we've got a beef jerky as the title sponsor of our biggest Yep. event. When you look at the NFL and NASCAR and Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL, they have huge companies that are sponsoring all of their events all over the place. This could open the door for that to happen for poker, because there are corporations that haven't been involved because they felt maybe the poker situation was a little bit dicey and they didn't want to get involved in it because it was, to them, a gray area. If this opens it up and brings in big new sponsorships from big American or even that could be great. You know, you could be having the Poker Stars Orange Bowl one year as a college football championship. There's no reason for them not to be able to do that sort of thing. However, in the 15 months that the moratorium is in effect, it's not going to be good for poker on TV because Poker Stars and Full Tilt are the two biggest sponsors of high-stakes poker and Poker After Dark and the Big Game and the Million Dollar Challenge and on and on and on and on, right?
Oh, 100%. I guarantee, you know, ESPN and Fox and whatever the heck, they're not liking this. Because if this is locked out, all of a sudden they're going to lose revenue for the next 2 years. That's another thing that I doubt that the people in Washington have thought a lot about.
Yep.
There's just so many things in this that they're unaware of, that they aren't thinking through.
Okay. Now
all they seem to think is, we've got to block it for 15 months. Wow.
Now, we talk about Poker Stars a lot because they sponsor this show and they sponsor you. But I've got to ask you a question about Full Tilt.
Okay.
And I know you don't have any direct insight into this, so just give me your opinion. They, of course, are a domestic brand. They do not have as much international exposure. I don't even know if they have any international exposure compared to not just Poker Stars, but also Party Poker and other brands like the WSOP.com in Europe and other parts of the world. Is it possible that Howard Lederer and Chris Ferguson and the other people who founded Full Tilt Poker will look at this as an opportunity to sell their company to somebody else, get out of the business, know that they're not going to be prosecuted for it, and just have to laugh all the way to their $100 million bank accounts?
Well, that's definitely a scenario that could happen. It's a huge corporation. A number of my friends are intimately involved with it. I have no insider information there, absolutely none. Have no idea what they plan to do or what they're going to do in the next few months. But I definitely could see that company, with the size it is, with the database it has, with the establishment of players that it has, the accounts it has looking as a nice plum for somebody to pluck. It wouldn't surprise me whatsoever that there's some sort of merger or acquisition or joint partnership that's put together with Full Tilt and another company. That, in fact, I would almost expect it.
Yep. I would, too. Okay, so bottom line here. We don't know what the effective date of the legislation is because they're still working on that. We don't know if this is even going to pass. Right now, I would say odds of this passing, probably 33 to 40%. Would you put it around there, less or more?
Well, considering a month ago we had it at 3%. I'm actually up to almost a 50-50. I really am. Because I can see a lot of the inner workings. I can see the compromises that are going on. If these next couple of versions that come out are a little more favorable, a little more realistic, I really could see this being attached to a bill. I could see it going forward. Reed has some leverage right now. Reed needs to do this because of the backers he had that we didn't talk about. He raised a huge amount of money from MGM and from Harrah's and from other gambling groups. If he gets this passed, you know, he's pretty much a shoe-in then for whatever he wants to do. And the thing of it is, the incoming people still will need to work with Harry Reid.
Yep.
They still will need to get something done in the next 2 years, and if they have him as an enemy, it ain't going to happen.
Okay, in poker
so this
terms,
is something they can put in their pocket.
In poker terms, Dennis is getting it all in with Queens against Ace King, 50-50, and I'm shoving here with my club flush draw.
Okay. Or flush with an overcard.
Next week, Antonio Esfandiari, who by then may have won this WPT event at the Bellagio that they're playing out right now. We'll talk to him next week and hope you will, too. Join us here on the Final Table from Harrah's St. Louis, brought to you by PokerStars.net on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com and our podcasts on TheChipLeader.com.